So today I want to start by looking at, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9. And Luke chapter 9, I'm just going to read this one verse and then we'll talk about it. It's a very familiar verse. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. In the King James it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's a verse that we've read a lot of times. And it's one of those verses. There are certain verses that, I don't know, they just speak such a dynamic truth that's so all-encompassing. It's one of those verses that always sticks in our minds. It's one of those verses that we always remember. But again, because it's one of those verses that we always remember, that we hear used a lot, that's quoted a lot, because of that, sometimes it loses some of the impact, or we don't pay attention to it and exactly what's being said there. And he said to them all, so this is Jesus speaking, and this is just after Peter gave that amazing presentation of his faith, his identification of who Jesus is. In fact, let's just get a feel for all that. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying with his disciples, were there with him, and he asked him, saying, who say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them, saying, tell no one that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is the advantage? For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever should be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and in the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." So that's the context that we see that one verse spoken in. And Jesus is asking, he's wanting to know from the disciples, from your perspective, you're watching this whole thing, you've been walking with me, you're talking to people, who do men say that I am? And Jesus really wants to know from them, this is what it comes down to, is what does man say about me? And then once you know what man says about me, so man says that, you know, I'm one of these things. Some say I'm just John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say it's, you know, other prophets come back to life. That's what the world's saying. So you know what the world's saying. What do you say? And this is the same kind of questioning that Jesus would be asking us and is asking us today. Because there's a lot of things in the world. You watch the world in our current culture. And there's less and less focus. There's less and less emphasis on Jesus Christ and on the Word. And even within the body of Christ sometimes, there's less emphasis on the Word and the veracity, the believability of the Word. Whether we should take the Word literally, whether it really means what it says. You know, we see a lot of people now that are saying, well, you know, the church has to come up to modern times. And this has been an argument. You know, it sounds like it's all new. This has been an argument that's been used for generation upon generation upon generation. The church has to come up to modern times. It has to meet modern standards. And because people feel that it has to meet modern standards, you know, there is kind of that mindset that says, well, we just because the word says something, it doesn't really line up with where man is at today, where our culture is at today. So you have to make some compromises. That is the absolute wrong thing. That's what the world says. And this is why Jesus is asking the disciples and why he's asking us. What does the world say? Who does the world say that I am? So in the same way that Jesus is asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? The same thing could be asked of you and I, of Jesus today, when he's asking us, who does the world say that I am? And what does the world say about me? Because this Bible, this is him. This is his word. He is the word. It's his word and he is the word. This is a living and active. These are his words. And so he's asking us, who does the world say that I am? And what does the world say about this word? Well, the world is saying that the word must change. The word must be adapted. The word must be progressive. It must join up with our current culture and the insights and the wisdom and the things that men have come to understand themselves. Because men have decided on morality. They basically decide there is no morality. So the morality of men is no morality at all. And that's what men and that's what the world says about the word of God. So if the world is saying that morality is basically no morality, then this word and all the things that are in this word, the truths, the promises, and the standards that come with this word will now become archaic, antiquated, irrelevant to the world. So Jesus is asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? And the question that's being asked of you and I today is, who does the world say he is in this word? Who does the world, what does the world say about this word about Jesus? And what the world says about this word and about Jesus is that it's not relevant unless it agrees with the standards that the world has set. Unless the word meets those standards or will agree with those standards, then it's irrelevant. Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And once they identified and they said, well, you know, some say that you are Elijah. You know, there are those that say that you're Elijah. There's those that say you're John the Baptist. There's others that say that you're prophets of old come back to life. Were any of those correct? No, of course, those were all wrong. He's Jesus. He is God. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. So all those answers that the world was giving at that time were wrong. Every answer the world gave to the question of who do men say that I am was wrong. So Jesus is asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? They gave the answers. Now Jesus knew what the world said. He knew that, but he wanted to know, okay, disciples, you've heard what the world says. What does the world say? That's what the world says. Now, the world has set forth this standard. This is the answer the world gave. The world says I'm one of these things. Who do you say that I am? Because Jesus wanted them to know, this is what the world says. You've identified the world has said this about me. And that's wrong. What they said is wrong. What do you say? And Peter, so succinctly and so well summarized and summed up in simplicity, and yet the depth of the beauty of the simplicity, the depth of understanding and knowing in the simplicity of his answer. And he said, you're the Christ of God. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah, the Christ of God. Peter summed it up. So the world said, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? The world said one thing, and his disciples acknowledged that the world said one thing. But he asked the disciples, that's what the world says, what do you say? They have the right answer. Now we'll get to verse number 23 in just a second, but this is still a question that's relevant for us today. Because the world is saying, just like the world was then in Jesus' time, the world was saying the wrong things about who Jesus was. And the world today is saying wrong things about who Jesus is and what the word, the power of the word, the meaning of the word, the significance of the word, and the impact of the word. Because the world says that it does not have any impact. It does not have any relevance unless it agrees with their standards. If it does not, then the word is archaic. I will never forget one of the quotes that was given by a man who had been a pretty good teacher of the Word of God, but has compromised the Word of God because he sees that it's at odds with the world, and he's putting his confidence and his faith in the world instead of in the Word. And when asked about one of the compromises, so he certainly was saying something that was compromising the Word of God, invalidating what the Word said. And what he said was, well, you know, from a political or from a cultural perspective, now I'm paraphrasing, but he said from a cultural perspective, do we want to make, is our best argument from 2,000-year-old letters? Is that our best argument? So essentially what he's saying is our best argument the Word of God? Is it the Gospels and the letters of Paul and Peter and James? Is that the best argument we have? That's our best argument? My goodness, the mere fact that you have to ask that question identifies as one of the disciples. If that man would have been one of the disciples standing there with Jesus when Jesus said, "Who does the world say that I am?" And all the other disciples, including this man, if he was standing there, would be saying, "Well, the world says that you're these things," which are all wrong. But then when Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" this man would have said, "I'm in agreement with the world, with the world. I agree with what the world says about who you are." See, the question is still relevant for us today. We know what the world says about who Jesus is and about the Word. We know what the world says. What do you say? Because Jesus is asking you every day that same question. Who do you say that I am? I know what the world says. Who do you say? Because as a follower in Jesus Christ, we have to know who He is. We have to know the answer to that question. Who is Jesus? Is He who the world says that He is? Is the Word of God what the world says that it is? Or is Jesus, and is the Word what Jesus says that it is? And what we're supposed to know. It is so easy for us to become influenced by the world and by the logic of the world and the things that make sense to the natural mind. You know, when the world presents a lot of these things, it probably does make sense to the natural mind. Would say, yeah, that's logical. I can understand that. But the things of God are a mystery and can only be understood. Now, they're a mystery to the world. They're not a mystery to you and I as believers. They're a mystery. They can only be understood through personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they're a mystery. They make no sense. The things of God are foolishness to man and to the natural mind. So the natural mind will likely agree or find logic or find logical what the world says. But this is why we have to answer that question that Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you say that I am? Now, Peter led the charge on that answer and said, "You are Christ. You are the Christ of God." He's identifying that He is Jesus, the Son of God. We have to answer that question every day. Because are you going to believe the things that the world tells you? Or are you going to believe the things that Jesus has told you by revealing Himself to you through this Word and through His relationship with you? Listen, if the world tells you that these standards are acceptable, but you know the Word says something different, then out of a loving heart and with love and compassion, we stand on the Word. And we stand by what the Word says, because that's the best demonstration of love. Now, to the world, it might sound like, well, that's not love, that's intolerance. No. If it's what God has spoken, God is love, and so the motivation behind it and the truth and the reality of it is that statement and those standards demonstrate His love for us, His love for His creation. The world says things that are contrary. We have to answer the question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Do you say, I agree with what the world says about these promises, about the Word, or do I believe what the Word says, what Jesus says? Because today I'm going to be faced with, and so will you, I'm going to be faced with the challenge of either believing what the world tells me or believing what the Word tells me. And it might not just be with standards and cultural standards. It may be with what the world tells you about things like your own life. If the world tells you that you're sick, if the world tells you that this disease is spreading, if the world tells you that the markets are going to crash and you're going to lose all things. If the world tells you things that are contrary to the promises of Jesus Christ, well, then you've got to decide. What does the world say about His Word? And then you have to answer the question yourself, what do I say? Because I'm either going to agree with the world or I'm going to agree with the Word. And it's too easy to be influenced by the world and believe the things that the world says. We need to believe what the Word says. And that's why Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say? Who do men say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is today? Who do you say He is? And do you say that the world is truth? Or do you say that the Word is? Because that answer is a direct reflection on who we say Jesus is. Because if He is the Son of God, if He is the Christ, if He is Messiah, if He is our Savior, If that's true, then all these promises are true, and we must live by these, we must believe them, and we must stand on them. And that includes the promises. We stand on those promises. And that's what I want to pray with you for today. I didn't even get to verse number 23. We read it. We'll look at verse number 23 tomorrow. The promises are yours and mine. Are you going to believe the promises, or are you going to believe what your body says, what the world says, what your wallet says, what your bank account says, what men say? What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the word or the world? That's the question we have to answer today. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Let's believe Jesus at his word in all the areas of our life.